In my walk, a lot of you know my walk, but up until about 12 years ago, 14 years now, I suppose, we weren't saved. 17, far out, this goes quick. So we walked in the secular world in a big way, but knew God existed. Then about 17 years, we got saved. I got saved the first time I heard the word spoken or read from the Bible, from the front. And the minute I heard that, I was saved right then. It was just undeniable within about three sentences. So it was just, you know, such a powerful position. Then about 4 years, 5 years ago, I'd been heavily in the Word, got the baptism of the Spirit, and didn't really know what I'd got, but found out very quickly. And then started to hear the Lord's voice, and really have been in a walk for the last 4 or 5 years in total, really trying to be in obedience. And what he's been, to answer your question, what he's been doing, particularly recently in the last couple of months, just about, is just asking me if I'm prepared to pay the cost, if I'm prepared to give everything to him, put everything on the altar, and do I understand what that means and what he wants us to do. So in that, for a number of years now, he's been giving me lots of words. I've been doing lots of notes, and I'm starting to share those in a blog and put those out. But in that, as I write them, he's actually taking me to deeper and deeper places. And even to the point, which I'm happy to share, is 7 months ago, we bought a new home, which I felt, Lynette and I felt, the Lord had put on our heart that this is, everything fitted and felt together so quickly. It was like, wow, that could only be the Lord doing that. Then over Christmas, as I said to the Lord, I want to be 100% in your will. I don't want to be mucking around. I don't want to be distracted. And then he said to me, and this is a home that we love. He said, I need you to sell your home. And it's like, you're what? Because this is something we loved very much. And he said, look, I bless you because that was on your heart. I blessed you. I gave you that home. But if you want to be in my will, you need to sell the home. And what he was showing me, he says, look, I will bless my people, but it doesn't mean they're in my will. It doesn't mean they're obeying. It doesn't mean they're walking the walk that I'm supposed to walk. Yeah, it was a heavy personal cost. But to show, so we agreed. We said, okay, we're in your will. We're going to do this. And literally 2 days later, in a place that can take 3 or 4 months to sell a home, he sold our home unconditional cash. Before it even got to the market, they hadn't spent a dollar on marketing, and it was just done. And then yesterday we shifted home, and the day before and yesterday. So if we're looking a bit tired, that's why. But he did it in 2.5 weeks through that process. But what he said to me is, he said, if you're in my will, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to see the blessings, and it's going to happen quickly. And so I just, what he is showing, but he's saying, look, there is a cost. If you're in my will, it's not about anything that's here. He says, money doesn't matter. These things don't matter. It doesn't mean that you're not a good steward. You're not doing that. But are you really in my will, or what are you really interested in? Are you going to walk in my will and pay the cost? And that's the message he's really giving to me at the moment.
And Pastor Scott.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. I having walked through a lot of that walk with Darren, having known him as a fairly uptight businessman who wore you know, chinos and collared. I think it was more in sort of a spiritual level. He was, you know, he's pretty tightly wound, you know, and it's like suddenly I came across him after a weekend, and we had gone through a couple of kind of tense situations together over probably a year or so period. And then I ran into him again, and I said, hey, Darren, how you doing? And he looked at me, and he smiled, and he says, I've received the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I remember the only thing I could think of during that conversation, and it was about 3 minutes, was, I think you have. You know, and I left there, and I told my wife on the drive home after seeing him, I go, whatever Darren's got, I want it. And that was out of like a 2 or 3 minute conversation. And I'd known the guy for years. And we'd both been walking with the Lord. We both spoke in tongues. You know, we both had what we thought was a very full expression of the Lord. That led to a couple.
I didn't speak in tongues before.
Well, you were pretty tightly wound, bro. Okay, I did. But, you know, ultimately, we were, that led to, and most of you know the background, where we were in, where he started hearing the voice of the Lord, and I was like, oh, okay. You know, I thought, this guy's crazy, you know? But then he started reading my mail. And it led to some interactions that we had with a few other people who have been involved with our fellowship who, I guess I could say, and I was talking about this with my wife last night, it has completely changed my identity and my destiny in 3 years. I've been born again since I was 18 years old. I've been born again since October 1989. And in the last 3 years, my destiny and my identity have been completely changed. Not that they've turned a 180, if that makes sense, but the clarity is so much, so drastic that it's narrowed from the potential of this to sort of, Scott, this is who you are, that it feels like 180 degrees, if that makes sense. And I was, you know, there's a famous, you know, Woody Allen quote that he tells a joke of these two people that they're in a restaurant and, you know, one of them says, oh, the food in this restaurant is so terrible. And the other one says, yeah, and the portions are so small, you know. Okay, so the idea there is Woody Allen goes on to compare it to life, that it's like life is so difficult, and the problem with it is it's so short. It's kind of like once you start to figure it out, it's like it's over. And the thing that's happened for me in the last 3 or 4 years is that suddenly it's like the clouds have parted. There's when you have difficulty grabbing hold of an identity for however many reasons, it affects you in very odd ways. And ultimately, when the Lord begins to expose to you who you are, it doesn't matter who or what. And it's not a problem when people view you as who. It's a problem when they view you as what. But it doesn't matter when the Lord's turned on that identity. So for me, the thing that he's been exposing to me is I understand, Darren, walking in obedience. I want to see people walking in freedom. I want to see people free because, and at the heart of that is identity. Because once you're turned on to who you are, it doesn't matter who anyone else sees you as.
Cool. And I think for me and for our family, the last probably year or 2 years has been particularly difficult. And I felt like God really gave us some space last year just to try and work through some things and work out some things. And, I kind of went between feeling guilty about not being spiritual enough to feeling completely unmotivated to kind of this roller coaster last year in particular. And sort of got to the end of the year feeling like, you know what, it's fine. I'm just going to just take the season to rest and try and recover. And then we hit the new year and it's just like, bang, all of a sudden God's saying, right, there's stuff to do this year. And that was, you know, even before some of this other stuff we're going to talk about came through. It was very sudden. And not in a real heavy sort of way. It was like, you know, there's that verse that says that God is working in you, but giving you the desire and the power to do his will. And it's just like, you know, we like to try and learn to be self-motivators. That's really, really important, I think, to be disciplined. But there are seasons, and this is what the Lord's been showing me, is like when he wants to accomplish something, he actually gives you the desire and the power and the drive to do that. And that's what I'm really discovering. So it's been exciting. But, you know, speaking of that Christmas period, there were some very specific words that the Lord shared for our church, for this group of people. Darren, can you elaborate a bit on that?
Yeah, yep. So we were here on New Year's. You guys might remember that. We're here New Year's Day. And that was interesting because we went and caught up with a few of the whānau afterwards. And the Lord had been putting over that time just stuff around generations and bits and pieces. So I went back with the group and really just started to talk to the Lord about what is it you want us to do at Rotorua this year? And we've been coming here for a number of years now. And the Lord's, I've just seen people growing and their gifts. But it's like, okay, Lord, what are you going to do? And part of our walk and what he's been teaching is that his timing is completely different to what my timing is. And I want it done yesterday, but it takes time. So we're asked some questions, talking and expecting, okay, there's going to be a year of a bit more of this and a bit more of that. But it was no, it was like, pow. He just came in and gave us a number of words and said, no, this is a year we're going to do something in a Ascend Church with the people here. And it was very specific. And the two things that he really talked about, well, the main one was he wants to give a bigger freedom to the people in here. He says he wants to take people in this church to a level of freedom that has not been experienced before. Mm. And that was his words. And it was like, feeling that now. And but he said that's a process to go through. It's not we switch on a switch and it happens. So there was that. And then the second part out of that, he says, then I want to see a big group of my people walking and moving in the gifting that I've given them. And so there was a two, but the main point was that this moving in the freedom. So we sort of talked around that a fair bit, and then he said, but you've got 1 year to do it. He said, that's it, 1 year, no more. And we normally don't get timelines like that from the Father, but he said, you've got 1 year because what you're going to do is you're going to use that in the following years for other people. So that was sort of the start of a number of words and a plan around that, which we'll talk a bit about. So.
Yeah, and it's funny because I think usually I love having purpose from the Lord. But I love just to be able to like sit and meditate in that purpose a little bit. You know what I mean? Just kind of like, yeah, this is good, you know? And so Darren made the point that suddenly the Lord gives us this time frame, and I was like, I felt like a weight. Like, wow, this is not a long time frame. And then he started sort of telling us what it would look like, and we start, and I kind of panicked, you know, and Darren's like, no, it's cool, man, we got it under control. And so the exciting thing to me is that after we've digested this, the Lord's brought some people, it's very much being orchestrated by him. He's bringing some people into our paths to help in their areas of expertise, which is exciting. And ultimately what it's going to lead to is for those who desire to. And that's one of the things the Lord made very clear, is that this is for those who will. That the thing he spoke to my heart is the conscription portion of this exercise is over. That it is strictly volunteer from here on out. Now, we still have a church and we still love you and nobody's going to be forced to do anything. But there's going to be a level or a depth that people are going to be able to go to find freedom. And here's the thing, if I was to say, and you don't, please don't raise your hand, you know, who wants to be free? Every hand in this place would likely go up. But then if I said, okay, who wants to deal with the things that are binding them up? The hands tend to come down a bit. Now, here's what I can tell you. In my interaction with Darren and some of these folks up in Auckland, I have been stripped bare, but never exposed. Does that make sense? The Lord has shown me things about myself, but as he has, every time he's shown me, it's been to touch and heal. And so I can say the process is wonderful. That's not the right word. They need to create a word that's the combination of terrible and wonderful in a cool way. Tundra cool. Or I don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah, great. Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure.
Originally.
The outcome is wonderful, but I think, you know, the reality is, guys, is I have gone. There's been nothing bad about it, but it's been difficult at times. And I have been around these guys in their patience with me, undone before the Lord, fetal position on the floor, like even if not in heart, in physically, in my spirit, been in fetal position, sucking my thumb, crying for my mama, you know. And the Lord, with the heart of a mother and the hand of a father, touches me and lifts me up. And that's where freedom comes from.
And I think, just building on that, one of the things I was pushing into last year was really understanding why we don't walk in power. Mm. Like they walked in power in Acts. You know, I've been pushing to the Father saying, we've got the baptism of water, we've got the baptism of spirit, and there's a baptism of fire, which is a process we go through. But it's, why are we not in power? And part of what this being in freedom is, having a freedom and walking in the giftings, walking in what you were made to walk like, is to be walking in power and to understand that. And that, I believe, is part of what will come through this year as we walk through that. It's like people getting healed in shadows, all those things that had an axe. It's like, why aren't we walking in that? And I've been pushing the Lord, and that's part of this answer that he's raising for here. He's saying, well, actually, because my people are bound up, my people are not walking in the freedom they should be walking in. And that's what he wants to do this year. But as Scott said, there's a cost, because we're going through that process and we're getting more and more freedom. But when I really want to be in my Father's will, it means I've got to sell my house that I bought 7 months ago at a great personal cost, because I'm prepared to pay the cost to walk in that freedom. And I'm not going to muck around anymore. And when Scott says it's something we've got to choose to do. And one of the things he said to us through this, he says, my people have got to choose to do, to step in and want this. I'm willing to give it to them, take them through the process, give them the freedom. But you need to understand, it's not a walk in the park. The blessings will come from it, but it's not a walk in a park.
Cool. So I think, you know, a bunch of us sat down and we listened to these words shortly after they'd been recorded, and I think the result was stunned silence.
But Jerry's referring to some prophetic words that were given by Darren and Ruth and a few others.
But, you know, there was that excitement, and I can kind of liken it, you know, Sarita is about to join the army, and she's about to go through basic training. And I remember going through basic training myself, and before that there's this excitement, because you know there's this tremendous personal development coming up, and you know you're going to be a different person out the other end. But there's also this kind of little bit of fear of the unknown, like what's actually coming up, and knowing that this is not going to be easy. But I think for us, that excitement of seeing what's on the other side is far greater than that fear, and that's, you know, that's going to push us through. So I think that's really exciting. But, you know, that unknown aspect, what are some of the things that you think we're going to see? What should we expect?
Based on what we've been experiencing, we've been going through part of this walk as well, and what he said to us is you can expect those areas in your life that need to be addressed to be in the world, to have the freedom. The things that maybe bind you up, the things that are holding you back from being what you, all that the Lord wants you to be, because he wants to bless you. You can expect those things to come to the surface and be addressed. And be addressed in the way that Scott talks about. He's a loving Father. He's going to bring them. But you can also expect, as you go through this, because he's going to bless, he's going to release more and more, you can expect some opposition to it. Because we have an enemy out there that will step up, and the last two or the 6 weeks since Christmas, and when we started to get these words, the opposition against Lynette and I, against, I know Scott's here, is like being intense. And he said, well, the Father said to me, he said, you increase in my anointing, the right of access to the enemy increases. And why does it increase? Because I enable him to open up more and more to show that you are the guy that you say you are in front of the Father. So expect the opposition. But hey, that's exciting, because I know when that opposition's there, we're really pushing into the right territory and the right areas.
At the end of the day, I think most of us, if I say, hey, what do you want more than anything? Most of you would probably answer comfort. You know, real comfort. I want comfort more than anything. But if I said, okay, what do you want more than that? It would probably be something along the lines of, I want impact. I want my life to have a purpose. I want purpose more than I want comfort. And I say all that in the context of the Lord. And I think one quick example is there were areas of destruction sown into my family and my community, small portion of my community while I was growing up, that brought tremendous and generational brokenness to a group of people. And on my last trip back to the States, I was able to gently help expose some of that to a very dear friend of mine and begin to take a step forward in freedom in her life that had not taken place in 40 years. It was the most difficult conversation I've had in my life, and I've had some hard conversations. But I've seen a person who I love dearly begin to get impacted by kingdom freedom. That's going to open her up to all these other areas. And the Lord told me that this was one of the things that was going to be the outcome of this for me. So here's the thing. How many of you know people who are bound up in cyclical, repetitive, I don't care what you call it, generational issues or sin? I mean, I'm not asking for a show of hands. Okay, thank you, Lynette. I appreciate it. Me too. I know people. And how many of you want the? How many of you have been frustrated, no show of hands, with your ability to speak into those situations and to see the power that Darren's talking about exposed to those situations? You know, I know that was me. I've been shaking my head over this for 40 years, which is a long time, folks. And suddenly, after a year of the Lord showing me who I am, guess what happens? Boom. I come into this situation, and it's like people's lives start to change. Why? Because I'm walking in freedom. Perfect freedom? No. Increased freedom? Absolutely. Deeper and deeper into freedom? 100%. So what is this going to look like? It's going to look like frowns followed by smiles. Tears followed by shouts of joy. Sighs followed by sighs. And ultimately, it's going to lead to beauty for ashes. That's my conviction.
Cool. So,
just adding to that, because it probably answers some of those other questions. So I think the Lord's laid out a process. I don't like using the word process because it sounds like it's. He's given a guideline for us to work to, and he's each week more and more specifics to work to. And it is in stage, so it is a full year. You're going to see a lot of us this year, and a wider group that he's said, look, I've got people I've been preparing and raising. I'm going to bring them into the group. And he's also going to start to bring everyone in this group and raise people with giftings to come in as part of this. So there is stages along the way, which are really exciting, because you're going to see that personal growth as it opens up. And I think, so maybe just in broad terms, there is a start. The next immediate period is about a personal preparation. It's taking people through that over And then there's a period of generational preparation in addressing that issue. And then there's a period of ministry where we're going to have teams here working to individuals to help through that process. So it's quite intense but exciting. And it's, what amazed me is we get to know more, because he says, I'm not going to reveal it all to you. You're going to learn, because you're learning as you go as well. Is the amount of people he's prepared and had ready to come and work here that we didn't even know some of these names. And he says to us, this is the person and this is the person, because I've been preparing them for what you're about today, which is really exciting.
Cool. I think, you know, the thing that really comes to mind is a lot of us have faced a lot of opposition already this year and found, you know, it's been an exciting start, but it's been a difficult start to the year as well. Is we don't face those trials alone. You know, it's not like, well, it's just me and the Lord just battling through. Yep, some days it is, but, you know, we're a body. And we're here to support each other. So when we're going through those difficulties, those trials, we can actually share them with each other and we can build each other up. You know, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I think that's huge to remember. I think we'll sort of pretty much wrap it up there, but is there anything else you guys want to...
Yeah, I was going to say, so what does this look like on a personal level? Because I think there's beautiful corporate things that are taking place, but on a personal level... I'll give you an example of what happened to me recently. I've dealt with night terrors my whole life. I don't know if any of you have had the pleasure of nighttime companions throughout your upbringing, but this is something that had plagued me my whole life. And there was really, I think before I'd started going through this process, there was quite a spirit of fear upon me. And I've pushed it off with a lot of bluster and bravado and pushing myself into situations that I felt required bravery to show that I wasn't afraid. And so anytime I'm afraid, the reaction I've developed for myself is attack. Even though I'm not attacking out of bravery, I'm attacking out of fear. And I can admit that now. 2 years ago, I wouldn't have. I had a situation just a couple nights ago where I felt like we were at a real pinnacle, a turning point in some things, and I felt like I was being just overwhelmingly attacked by the enemy. And I was trying to blow it off. At one point, I felt something touch my head, and I kind of woke up, and there was this sort of thing with it was just the weirdest thing. And I'm sitting there in bed, and I was like, oh, not now, you know? And I sort of rolled over and went back to sleep, like not even thinking like, okay, you know, get under my bed or whatever, make sure my hand's not leaning over to whatever's under the bed. Because I don't think like that. But it was just like, I just looked, and I like, there was no fear. Like that spirit of fear was broken. And it was the weirdest thing. And I was just like, I just had no time for it. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, I'm tired. I just don't want to play right now. And when you start getting that mentality, because all the enemy can do is, the enemy is an expert at judo. And for those of you who are familiar with martial arts, judo is using your enemy's momentum and weight against them. The enemy can only use your weight and your momentum against you, that which you give him. And if you give him nothing, guess what he's got to use? He's like, you know, and you're like, I'm just tired. So that's one area, one small aspect of freedom that I've started to grow in.
Yeah, I might just share, we drove down from Auckland this morning, but the Lord woke me up at 4:14. I won't forget that because I looked at the clock. What? I was wide awake. It was like, unbelievably wide awake. So I know when he does that, I get up. I always get up and try to spend an hour and a half before I do anything if I've got to catch an early flight. So I got up and spent some time. But he took me to one chapter, and he wanted me to go to this chapter, which was Luke 3. And I think, and I read this, he made me read it twice, but I think it was to give me a biblical interpretation in simple terms about what he wants to do this year, I feel. And if you look at this, It talks. This is where John the Baptist prepares the way. But then it talks about, and it talks about going into all the region. This is John the Baptist and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And this was the first thing he showed me in this chapter. And I believe that's the first phase we're going to go through: is a personal preparation and repentance and getting ourselves to a position. It was really clear. And then he goes, John goes on to preach to the people. And he talks, and it talks in here about, so it says, the people says, what shall we do? And he answers them, he says, he who has two tunics, let him have none, give to someone else. The tax collectors be baptized, or get cleansed, collect no more than what's appointed to you. And it says, likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, what shall we do? And he said, do not intimidate anyone. Now, what he was showing us here is these are things that they were doing that were not in line with God's will. And this is the sort of stuff that we're going to address as we get into this. Because unless you address these things, you can't get the freedom that he wants to give us. But then it comes on and it talks about, it says, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mighty than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And a lot of us have received the baptism of the Spirit, but there is a baptism of the fire. And if I put on my blog, which is on the church website, you'll see I've written about that. It's worth reading because that is a painful process. And that is part of what we're going to go through this year, because he's going to burn the rubbish off out of your life. But there's the beauty of freedom out of that. And he talks about this. He says, oh, he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. The chaff he will burn as fire. And then he talks about many exploitations. And it talks about, at this point, Herod shut him up in prison. So it wasn't an easy process. He was shut up in prison, John, and we know what happened there. But there was trial and tribulation through this as he got cleansed and he was working in the way. And then it says John baptizes Jesus, and the Holy Spirit descended bodily like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son in which I'm well pleased. And this is where he wants to take us through. But then what really struck me with the balance of this chapter, it changes topic totally. It says the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and it talks about that, and that's part of what we're going to go through. So we're going to go through this process of remission, repentance, of being through the baptism of the Spirit, through the fire. But then why does it talk about the genealogy of Jesus? Because his lines were pure, they were clean lines. And we're going to go through a process of addressing that in us as individuals. And if you talked to me about this 4 years ago, it would have been, what? But I've been through it recently, and I understand the power that's being released through going through it. And this chapter, I felt, he took me back through it twice this morning, that awful early hour, but he was showing me this is the process we're going through. And it is exciting because once they go through that, to be walking, Christ in us fully in the power, with the freedom and the giftings, walking in those giftings and having the ability to use them, that's what he wants to do this year. And that is really exciting.
I think maybe what we'll do is just get the worship team to come back. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Darren. We're going to just continue. We're just going to have just a little bit of worship. I understand. I see that the hour is a little bit late. But one of the questions that, I think a lot of people have is sort of, what's this going to look like, or what are we going to do here? And what I would say is the process of walking through the fire is one of the things that you'll be tempted by, or one of the things that you'll find difficult as you begin that process, is I'm going to suffer loss. As I go through the fire, I'm going to suffer loss. Stuff is going to be taken away from me. And I'll tell you what, some of that, and here's the thing, you're right. Okay, I'm not going to candy coat it. You will suffer loss. Or no, I take that back. You will have loss, but you will not suffer loss. Because there are some things, I'm going to tell you this right now, folks, there are some things that you hang your identity on that are wrong. there are things that were told to you as a pequeño niño, as a little child, that are wrong. And you have hung your identity on that, some of you for decades. And guess what? You're going to lose that. Okay, you're going to lose that. And so is that suffering loss? No, that's having loss. Okay, and that's not a bad thing. There's some things that were done to you in formative years that caused you to have a perspective about yourself that you have developed the majority of your identity on into your adult years that are not from the Lord and are actually not even who you are. And that's going to be lost. And you can say, well, Scott, how do you know? Because when I came about and around these guys 3 years ago, immediately, the Lord dealt with three things in my life that I didn't have the capacity. Do you have anything like that in your life? That you simply, before the Lord, God, there has to be an answer to this because I have no capacity to put this into context in my life. And this wasn't one of them for me, but let me just throw it out. Rejection of a parent. How does a child process that? You can't. But when God touches that area, I can tell you, He can. And the thing is I am not trying to belittle anything with the place that God has taken me. Because some of you have learned to callous over those areas of vulnerability and put on a stiff upper lip and strengthen the feeble knees and simply walk forward in life one step at a time with power and bravery and fortitude that I could never muster because the pain you have experienced is so much deeper than what I have had. But all I know about my pain my pain. And when God turns beauty to ashes, I thought this was going to sound, sounded deeper in my mind. When God turns beauty to ashes, it's beautiful. Okay? It was a lot more eloquent in when I said it to myself. But what we're going to do next weekend is we're going to have part of this wider team gather together here. And we're just going to open the doors in the morning and begin to seek His presence and just see what the Lord does. But I don't want to leave you this morning. See, here's the thing. I know that like me, because God is the one who orchestrates all these things in our lives, that there's been a preliminary season in your life. Some of you have been walking it in parallel with some of us on the team here. There's a few that we've been in a very parallel walk. Myself, Jeremy, Lorraine, Barbara, she wouldn't admit it, but she has. But some of you are in the preliminary stages of that. And as you are, I want to give you the opportunity. I just want to make sure that today you don't just hear these things and then have to sort of leave kind of half up and excited because something is about to happen, but kind of down because nothing has happened yet. So we're just going to take the opportunity during worship now to just pray for people. Just to quickly put the Spirit of God upon you. To open your heart as much as needs be over this next season and to uplift your heart as much as must be to get you through this season. To give you, and this has been a prayer for me through this whole time, to give you calluses in appropriate places. give you calluses in appropriate places. You must understand what I'm saying here today. There is not one of you in this room who was not created on purpose, with purpose, for destiny, in dignity. But here's the problem. Hurt people. And there have been well-intentioned parents, mentors. And by well-intentioned, some of those people had atrocious things perpetrated upon them as well. But I don't even know how you put that together. In their hearts, they simply did not have the tools to give to you what your Heavenly Father wanted to. And so I'm not going to try to defend those things as good. But I'm going to say that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. And I need you to understand that this morning. I'm tired of people walking around with the hangdog look. I'm tired of people not understanding who they are in Christ. Now, here's the thing. That is only given by revelation. And I can't explain to you the revelation that God gave me about who I am. And it wasn't like I ran out going, yippee, and jumping. I only do that when we win a World Cup by 1 point. Okay, but I left with a deep sigh of contentment. And so that's what we're going to do. I hope that, guys, I don't want to leave this moment because I can see some of you, the Lord is breaking through. And He's uplifting and strengthening those hearts a little bit, but He's also creating He's pried the door open just a hair. I see just a little bit of light coming out. And I can see others of you who are saying, Scott, you may be tall, you may be good looking, thank you. Okay, that's never meant as a joke. But what makes you think you're any different? I don't think I'm different, guys. But you should not still be laughing now. Okay? I don't think I'm different, but what I will say is I've walked through this. And I very much believe. So I will say to you today, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. You are excused. You want to go next door, grab something to eat. If you want to get a cup of coffee, if you want to have some fun with some people, spend a little bit of time in community before we go out into the world. By all means, do so. But if you want to linger and just want a touch from the Lord, just that prayer of sealing your heart and lifting the ceiling of your heart, then please stick around and let us pray. Amen. Can we do that, guys? I sense the vulnerability in the room, and I'm very sensitive to it. And what I don't want is for people, before that door gets pried open a little bit, as the Lord is tugging on it right now, trying to just get Himself in there gently without hurting you, but forcefully because He has a plan for you, I don't want to leave this place. myself because I've started down the yellow brick road, guys. And I've seen the city of the great wonderful Oz. So, Father God, I pray that you would show us Jesus this morning. We pray, wide on top, Holy Spirit, that you would hover over this place this morning, touching hearts, freeing minds, breaking soul ties. Lord, that those preliminary days, I really feel this is like the baptism of John in some ways. It's a baptism of repentance. It's a baptism of preparation. It's a step of humility that says, Lord, I want to be fixed, but I'm confessing that I think I'm a little bit broken. And as a broken vessel who's being fashioned into something of use by his Father, for his Father, I say thank you. Guys, it is not my intention to pull unduly on heartstrings. But this is not a battle of the head. The battleground for this is not the mind. The war that's taking place here is not within your